Good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Philip. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get too far into things, can you tell us exactly what the proposed legislations entail?
Yeah, well, I think you summed it up pretty well. Rob Pine introduced eventually two bills, and the two bills read together would have removed abortion from the criminal code so that women and doctors don't face the risk of prosecution for being involved in an abortion. And then it would have created what we call safe access zones around clinics that provide abortions, and that would mean that women and clinic staff aren't harassed and intimidated or approached whilst they're just trying to go and see their doctor, which has become a problem, or has been a problem for many years around the country. And then the final thing that it does is to give doctors who have a conscientious objection to abortion the right to refuse to perform abortions unless it's in an emergency situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in August a parliamentary committee recommended that the bill, which is set out to decriminalise abortion and remove it from the criminal code, should not be passed. On what grounds was this based?
Well, So Rob Pine introduced the first bill, and all it sought to do was remove abortion from the criminal code. And that would have essentially meant that there was no particular regulation of when and how abortions might be performed. So the Queensland Parliamentary Committee recommended it not be passed. He introduced a second bill to address some of the committee's concerns. And in the second bill, he said, look, women who are up to 24 weeks pregnant should be able to decide in consultation with their doctor whether or not they wish to terminate their pregnancy. And after 24 weeks, that it's for two doctors to decide that that is the right thing to do. And then he also introduced the safe access zones and the right to conscientious objection. So the second bill provided a layer of regulation around abortions, and really the two bills were to be debated together and understood as a package. Unfortunately, as you said, Mr. Pine has removed those bills from Parliament now.
As you said, the bills have been removed, which seems like a bit of a step back. As you outlined in the article you published on the topic in the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday, an essential research poll revealed that 80% of people surveyed support the premise that women in consultation with medical professionals should have the right to terminate their own pregnancy, and 60% stated that they were less likely to vote for an MP who endorsed the criminalisation of abortion. Given these stats, why do you think these changes to abortion regulation have faced so much resistance in the past and are still having issues to get past?
Look, I think abortion touches a whole lot of really sensitive buttons for people, and despite the abortions being provided every week in Queensland and around Australia, there's still some who are very concerned about it. And part of the reason that the stigma remains around it is because it remains a part of the criminal code. So what we have now, and I think that polling really helped, is really good awareness of just how much support women in Queensland have from the general community to have the freedom to make these decisions about their own body. I mean, 80% of Queenslanders think women should have the right to choose to determine when to terminate their pregnancy. And I think this led really, despite the disappointment of Mr. Pine removing those bills, it's led the government to refer this matter to the Queensland Law Reform Commission. And that is a very important process. And given that abortion is a sensitive topic in our community, it will usually have a conscience vote in the Parliament. A good, solid report that is evidence-based from the Queensland Law Reform Commission should put this this law reform on a good path. The government, we must remember, has now committed, after the Law Reform Commission report, to introducing its own legislative package for reform of abortion law in Queensland.
Mm. Okay, so there is still stuff in the pipeline. Looking at wider Australia, there seems to be issues with lacking uniformity around abortion regulation throughout the country. Of course, New South Wales and Queensland are the only two jurisdictions yet to decriminalise abortion, either partly or fully. What's the basis for the lack of uniformity around the country?
Well, I mean, abortion has historically been dealt with in the criminal code of the state, and that within the Australian governmental framework, the power of the states to make those kinds of laws. So it's very difficult to have a uniform law, not only about abortion, but about many things in Australia because of our federated system. I think the interesting thing for New South Wales and Queensland now is that their laws lag so far behind everybody else's. We've seen at least partial and Queensland and in Tasmania, Victoria and ACT, complete decriminalisation of abortion now. We've seen laws that actually properly reflect what the community wants and expects, and it reflects how abortion is dealt with in clinical practice. Because, of course, we know that women in Queensland and in New South Wales have abortions all the time, and that it's perfectly legal for them to do that. That we shouldn't forget that. All what the problem is that it's only legal where, in Queensland, a doctor deems the procedures necessary to prevent serious danger to the woman's life, physical or mental health, and that the danger of the abortion isn't greater than the danger of the pregnancy. So a doctor is always, and the woman, are always running a risk of prosecution for their involvement, but they are rarely prosecuted. Nonetheless, this has created barriers to access, retained the stigma on women, and it's left the decision as to whether or not a woman has an abortion in a doctor's hands. And this is completely unacceptable. This is reflects entirely 19th century views about women and sex and women's ability to make decisions about themselves. And the New South Wales and Queensland governments essentially need to wake up and see what's happening in reality and make laws that keep up with the times.
Mm. Yeah, well, when you're seeing a 12-year-old girl hauled up in court to try and get an abortion, it's certainly going to be putting a lot of other people who are in need of, you know, abortion off the entire process because of all the bureaucratic rigmarole. Well, you sort of touched on it, but if these bills are passed with the law reform, what do you think this will signal for women all across Queensland?
You know, I think this law reform is so long overdue that it will probably, for most women, signal simply that the law reflects the reality of their lives. At the moment, the law treats women as incapable decision makers, as potential criminals if they don't want to keep a pregnancy, and the decriminalisation of abortion, the creation of safe zones so that women don't have to be harassed on their way to a clinic, would show an incredible amount of faith in women and essentially treating them as the women that they are in the 21st century world, which is capable decision makers, equal members of society, and people who are worthy of the protection of the state.
Well, it's a shame. It'd be nice to see some progressive laws coming through, but I think with these ones, they're so far overdue that they can't be deemed progressive at all, just something that's, you know, direly in need of happening. Emily, thanks so much for joining me this morning to unpack the process of all of this in Queensland.
Pleasure, Philip. Thanks so much for having me.